zombies, and that the day of the living dead was no joke. Today, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. No joke, really is. And next week, you don't want to miss next week. Next week, we're going to talk about this hairy dude. We're going to talk about Bigfoot next week. Do you know that there is a story in the Bible about somebody who becomes a Bigfoot? And it is a picture of what happens to us if we're not careful. And we're going to talk about that next week. My family, my cousin and my grandmother live there. My cousin, my aunt still lives there. Live in the community in America that is known as Bigfoot USA. Antlers, Oklahoma. More sightings of Bigfoot, supposedly, around Antlers, Oklahoma than any place else in America. And so I've been around there quite a bit my whole life. Anyway. 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about aliens. Strangers in a strange land. No joke. And it's going to be a great sermon. And then on the 29th, I'm going to make that the 28th yet. On the 29th, we're going to talk about the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And there really is power at the end of God's promise. And so I want you to be here for all of these. Today, it's Superman. No joke. I want you to open your Bibles with me. Amen. If you're visiting with us, we get excited when we open the Bible. Philippians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 12. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 12. Paul writing here, and he says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your strength. I thank you and I praise you for your power and your anointing. And Lord, I ask that as we move into this sermon, Lord, that you would get me out of the way. Lord, fill me with supernatural strength and supernatural anointing, and let me speak the word that needs to be heard in the hearing of everyone who is in this room or everyone who hears this sermon. Lord, I give you glory and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Superman. Superman has always been, I am not a huge comic book person. I am not a huge superhero person. But Superman, when I was young, was the one I liked. It was the one cartoon I used to like to watch. Now, as time went on, Superman changed. And I don't really like the new Superman as much as I like the old Superman. I like the bright Superman, like this Superman. But I always liked Superman because Superman was super. Faster than a speeding bullet. What was it? Stronger than a locomotive. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Right now, I don't think I can leap tall anything. I don't think I can leap over a piece of carpet right this second. But Superman could do everything. He'd bow out that chest, and they'd shoot bullets at him. He'd go, ting! Reminded me a lot of myself. I was always amazed that Superman was mild-mannered Clark Kent. But all he had to do was take his glasses off and he was super. It was amazing to me how much those glasses disguised who he was. I always thought, don't they know who that is? But you know, I think that sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God has called us to be superheroes. God has given us abilities. You heard, as I shared with the kids, that Michael was telling me that Superman draws his power from the Earth's sun. And I began to think about that, and I began to think about how that we draw our power from the sun. The sun, S-O-N. That we get our strength. But what makes us super? The scripture that I read this morning is one that as soon as I read it, all the kids begin to quote it. It's one of the first verses that we teach people to quote. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah, that's one of the first ones we memorize, and some of us memorize it right. And then one of the early ones is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we talk about it and we preach about it, but we never get into the details of why can I do all things. I'm going to be honest with you, you're about to find out some things you didn't want to know. You're about to find out some stuff you didn't really want to find out. When you follow the story of Superman, he draws his strength from the Earth's sun, but he draws his strength from the Earth's sun because he's not from here. He's from Kryptonite. Krypton, same thing. Krypton is where Kryptonite comes from. He's from Krypton. And all of a sudden, we begin to realize that on his home world, he's nothing. But here, he's got all this power. Let me tell you something about our lives. In our own strength, we're nothing. But when we get ourselves into the sun, S-O-N, when we get ourselves under his hand and under his authority, we become super. We become superheroes and miraculous and powerful. But there are some things that we have to do to get there. Paul's writing here, and in verse number 12, he says a few things. He starts verse 12 by saying this, and I want to read it because I want you to see this. The first three words of verse 12, I know how. I know how. Can I preach something I never preach? We come into the Pentecostal world and we want God to do everything. All we ever talk about is what God does. God does, God does, God does, God does, God does. You know what? God has given you some ability. God has given you some knowledge. And we need to have the boldness to stand up and say, I know how. I know how. Paul did not put this off on some other power. He did not give this part to being God moving in his life. He made a statement to the Philippian church, I know how to do some stuff. I know how. What did he know how to do? First thing he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Let me tell you what that means. To be abased means to be lacking, to be weak. I'm going to tell you today, don't get too fired up if I sit down, because it may not be my normal sit down preaching. It may be that I am abased. I can see 50 at the end of the hood here, just a little over a year away. I'm getting old and I'm getting tired. And this weekend we had Aunt Michael's college visit. We were supposed to leave here at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. go to Sikeston, get a good night's sleep, and then go on to Cleveland. It was going to be an easy trip down. Through a process of events and things that wound up happening, we did not get on the road to 7:15 Wednesday night, which means that we didn't get to Sikeston, Missouri till 1 o'clock in the morning. Got up the next day, had a big lunch, went to Cleveland. Got to Cleveland, went out to eat with Anthony and Michael, which was, I mean, I can't remember the last time I had dinner with both of my boys. And come back, and I was like, I'm tired, boys. I'm going to bed early. Michael and Anthony wanted to hang out. I'm like, listen, Michael, Anthony will bring you back to the hotel. I'm taking your car. I'm going to bed. I go back. About the time I laid down, I realized I haven't eaten out much lately. And there was a lot of grease in that burger. Oh, it was really good. It was real good. But, And all of a sudden, there it was. My old friend, acid reflux, just... And I laid there in that bed till 2 o'clock, about 1 o'clock in the morning. Finally fell asleep for an hour. Woke up again and was awake again from 2 to almost 4. God, let me just puke it up, please. Got up 7 o'clock the next day. I walk on average, according to my phone, I walk on average about a mile to a mile and a half a day because I'm old and fat. Friday, I walked 4.9 miles. Come back, finally got to go to sleep about 11 o'clock. Michael had missed an appointment. So they had to reschedule it. They couldn't reschedule it at 10 o'clock on Saturday. They had to reschedule it at 8 o'clock on Saturday. So we get up at 7 o'clock and we go back to the school. And we get his scheduling done. And then we got about an hour downtime. And then it was meeting or dinner and this and that and the other. All the way till 6 o'clock where we stayed to have them draw names for a $5,000 scholarship, had to be present to win. Now, you know good and well we didn't win it. But you know for a fact if we had left at 4, we would have won it and not gotten it. We get in the car and we head back and we get to almost to Paducah, Kentucky with the plan of going to Sikeston and taking a nap. And Michael says, I'm feeling good, Dad. Let's go on home. We just kept right on coming. 5 o'clock this morning, rolled into the house. And I have no strength. I am abased. He drove to St. Louis. I drove from St. Louis here. I'm preaching this sermon. I am abased. I have no energy. I have no power. Sometimes we hit places in our life where things get us down and we get abased. We feel like that if a good strong wind comes and goes, we go. Sometimes we feel like it doesn't even have to be a good strong wind. It can just be a breeze. Sometimes we think if somebody walks by me too fast, they're going to blow me over. We're abased. Paul says, I know how to be abased. I know how to be weakened. I know how to struggle. But I can tell you something else. I know how to abound too. Abound. Hear that word bound? Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. I know how to have strength. I know how to have energy. I know how to get excited. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. I am a base. I know what it means to be tired. But as the anointing begins to flow through my body, oh, I have a little bit of power that comes up. I know what it's like to stand up and have energy and have strength. I know what it's like to trust enough to go on when I don't even feel like it. Back in the dark ages when I was a youth pastor, back in 1904, we were youth pastors, and Beth could always tell if I wasn't feeling good. If I went into a youth room, and I was like, all right, let's have fun tonight, yeah! Beth would walk over by me and go, got a headache, don't you? Yes. Yes. My body was hurting, but I knew that I had to abound. I knew how to have strength because I couldn't let my weakness show. Oh, come on now. Some of us make a living off trying to abound. But knowing how to abound is only worthy when you know how to be abased. When you only, it's only good to know how to abound when you know how to have trouble. This isn't tired. Some of you need to come to a place where you finally, for the first time in your life, go to somebody, a pastor, a husband, a wife, a Sunday school teacher, a spiritual mentor, and say, I don't know what to do. Do you know God has been waiting for those words from you? God sits in heaven. God is not excited that you know how to fix everything. God is waiting for the day that you go, God, I don't know what to do. I'm done. I'm through. And God says, it's about time. Now I can do something. Now I can show off. Now I can show you power. Paul says, I know how to be abased, or I know how to abound. I can be weak, and I can be strong. I know how to do that. He goes on, he says, I know how to be full, and I know how to be hungry. Oh, come on now. I am a professional at being full. I went to my son's place of work this week called Stacks in Cleveland, Tennessee. And it's a burger joint. Nice burger joint. And I went in there and I said, what's good? And my vegetarian son says, I don't know. I'm a vegetarian. I'm like, well, I guess you don't have to worry. They don't have to worry about you eating the profits around here. But he says, a lot of people order this one burger, and I can't, oh, the Bless Your Heart. You know it's got to be a good burger when it's called Bless Your Heart. It's like a healing prayer before you ever eat it. Bless your heart. It was 7 ounces of chopped meat with cheese mixed into the meat and cooked into it. So you didn't actually see the cheese, but you tasted the cheese because it dispersed through the meat. This may explain why I felt the way I felt. It had the best bacon. He had some name for it. It was supposed to be some of the best bacon in the world on it. And then it had a hunk about that thick of ham. Ham and bacon and cheese-filled meat. Now I got me some French fries. Actually, no, I got sweet potato fries, I think, and they were good. Michael got him a burger. I forget what burger he got. But he got onion rings, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not a huge onion ring person, but I had one of his onion rings, and God had something to do with that onion ring. I know he did. When I left there, I knew what it was like to be full. I knew how to be full. Hope y'all ate breakfast. I remember when me and Beth first got married, first 6 months we were married, around the corner from our house was an El Chico's Mexican restaurant. And I love Mexican food, and I love El Chico's. And I went to El Chico's, and back in those days, they had great food. I think we had fajitas. I don't remember. But what I do remember is they had a Mexican apple pie. Mexican apple pie was a slice of apple pie that they had put ice cream on, and they took a Mexican brandy, they had pecans, it took a Mexican brandy sauce and poured it over the top over a hot skillet. We went to El Chico's and we ate all of our food. But it would be a sin to go to El Chico's and not get a Mexican apple pie. And so we got us a Mexican apple pie. And when I left El Chico's that night, I knew what it was like to be full. I was so full, I couldn't even walk Walmart. I was like, oh, oh, oh. I was miserable. Paul says, I know how to be full. A lot of us know how to be full. A lot of us, we enjoy telling the stories of when we got full. But Paul says, more than knowing how to be full, I know how to be hungry. Do we know how to be hungry? Now, physically, we may know how to be hungry. How about spiritually? Oh, we all shout about the times that the revival comes and we go off and we do ministry and we get full spiritually. Oh, but what does the Bible say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Isn't it amazing to you that God also gives power to those who are hungry? When we get hungry for God, we go seeking God. You know what the difference is between being full and being hungry? If I'm full, I don't eat Big Macs. I don't like Big Macs. I can eat them a little bit now as long as I haven't leave the sauce off, but I don't like that Big Mac sauce. Yeah. Just don't like it at all. But I'm going to tell you, back in the day when I was in college and I was working at a place called Grease Monkey and changing oil in cars, and we were really busy, and they would buy us lunch on Saturdays because we would do 100-plus cars a day. And so instead of giving us a lunch break, they'd buy us lunch. Now this, poor Anna, she couldn't handle this, because we would eat at work under the car, greasy hands and just whatever, because you didn't have time to take a lunch break. So you just ate. Have I eaten antifreeze and transmission fluid and oil? Yeah, it hadn't hurt me at all. I'm fine. But one day we were really busy, and they went and didn't ask. Usually they got an order from us. They didn't get an order. And they brought me two Big Macs with onions and that Thousand Island Big Mac sauce on it. Oh, I'm sorry. That secret sauce. But I was hungry. Now, if I had not been hungry, if I'd been full, those Big Macs would have sat on that shelf down there with my wrenches, and they wouldn't have gotten touched. But I was hungry. You know what happened when I was hungry? I ate that Big Mac with the onions and the sauce because I wasn't picky. When are we going to get hungry enough in church that we quit trying to special order everything we have? When are we going to get hungry enough that when God says, this is what I got for you, we go, oh, okay, I'll do that. When are we going to get hungry enough for ministry that we don't say, well, I'm not working in that area, and all of a sudden we say, I'll do whatever. Whatever's needed to be done, because I know how to be hungry. That's what Paul says. He goes, I know how to be full. I know how, but I also know how to be hungry. I know that when I'm hungry, I'm not near as picky. I'll eat stuff I wouldn't eat when I was full. I'll do things I wouldn't do other times. I've come by to tell you, we need to learn this concept. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to be full. I know how to be hungry. I know how to abound. And I know how to suffer need. I know how to abound. Now, why does he say this twice? Because we all have times where we've abounded. First, he says, I know how to be abased and how to abound. I know how to have struggles and how to have victory. The second time where it says, I know how to be abound or to suffer need, it implies that I know how to have everything I need. I know how to be affluent. I know how to be okay, comfortable, rich. I'm in abundance. I know what it's like that when something comes up, I can just write a check, pull out a cash and pay it. And then I know what it's like when, you know, you got to take out a loan to get a quarter's worth of M&Ms out of the M&M candy machine back there. I know both of those. I've been there like my son. My son's done more recently, so I'll pick on him. Been there like my son. I was talking to Anthony here a couple weeks ago on the phone. He says, yeah, I'm getting some gas. I said, okay. He goes, hang on a second. He comes back. He goes, I had 79 cents in the ashtray, so I got 79 cents worth of gas. You what? I'm like, you mean they actually did 79 cents worth of gas? Nowadays, that's barely enough gas to count. My days, that was a gallon of gas. But I remember doing that. I remember taking the change out of my ashtray to buy $1.50 worth of gas, get me home. Tell you something. When we know how to abound and we know how to suffer need. Pastor, what are you talking about, Superman? How does this all tie in? Here's what Paul's saying. I've learned. I've got some power. I didn't watch the show much. There was a show on TV many years ago called Smallville. And if I understand right, Smallville was the story of Superman as a teenager. What little I've watched it, through the course of that, he was learning some of his powers. He was learning what he could and couldn't do. One of my favorite shows from years gone by was probably, or not probably, it's considered a spoof show called The Greatest American Hero. Anybody remember that? Oh, yeah, The Greatest American Hero. That's awesome. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. Anyway, and The Greatest American Hero was a teacher that got this suit that allowed him to fly, but he didn't know how to land it. And so he would fly, but then when he would come to land, he'd roll. And he'd bounce into walls. That's what Paul's saying. God's given me powers. God's given me authority. And I have worked it. I have trained. So I know how to have and I know how to have not. I know how to be full and I know how to be hungry. I have worked in the power of God so that I can move in what God has given me. Then look at this. He says, he changes the I know how to I can do. I can do. I'm going to tell you that three little words up there is the key to making every one of you a superhero in Christ. I can do. You know why churches struggle? Because we don't know those three words. What we know is we never have. I don't know. We speak in terms of fear. We speak in terms of doubt. We speak in terms of struggle. We speak in terms of faithlessness. But Paul says, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. I know how to be full and I know how to be hungry. I know how to have everything and I know how to be in need. Because I know that I can do. I can do. But understand the I can do is limited by the end of that statement. I can do all things. We talked about with the kids, all things means all things. It's amazing how we reinterpret the Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I can't do that. You don't understand. That won't work. Oh, but Pastor. Oh, but. I'm going to tell you. It's one of the buts we need to get out of our vocabulary. I can do all things, but I can't do that. I'm afraid. I'm nervous. What if? It's time to put on your big boy pants or your big girl pants and walk out there and do what you know to do. You know what amazes me? How many people are out there that know where their power is. They know where their strength is. They know that when they're in here, they feel better. They know that when they're serving God, things work better. But yet, they don't do it. And they use all kinds of things as excuses. There's hypocrites in the church. Yep, sure are. If you'll come, there'll be one more. Probably shouldn't have said that out loud. Yes, there's hypocrites in the church. You know why? Because we're not perfect. But I know this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You hear the weirdness in that statement? I'm not perfect. But I can do all things. Paul's teaching. He's telling the Philippians, listen. He's already come through the thing. Think about these things. He's teaching them how to think, what to do. He says, you've got to learn how to go through all these levels. And then you understand that your power is not in you. Your power is in Him. Every time I try to do it on my own, I mess up. Every time I try to make it work myself, I mess up. It's like I'm Superman, but I forget to go to the phone booth. I'm Superman still trying to walk around with my glasses on. I want to tell you, these are reading glasses. And when I'm up there, I can't read anything without them. But when I put them on down here, you look like trees sitting in the thing. You're all blurry. It is in some areas. It's all, I can't see anything. But when I take my, when I take the glasses off, like Superman, now I have super vision. Because now I don't just see you, but through Christ I see you. When are we going to start seeing each other? You see, he says, I can do all things, not by my strength, but through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to understand that none of this happens on our own. Paul says, we don't become Superman because we're good. We become Superman because we're bought. We become Superman because Christ has given us power. But I want to close with one more verse, and it's on my screen. But let me tell you the key to all of this. The key to all this is actually back ahead of there. It's verse number 11. And this is going to mess some of you up. Actually, I'm going to read verse 10 too. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now there, what he's talking about is they were able to start supporting his ministry again. I know you cared about me. I know you wanted to take care of me. You just didn't have the chance. But listen at verse 11. Now that I speak in regard, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. How did he get to I know? He learned. You cannot get to I know before you learn. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. It can be one of the most different statements you've ever heard from me. But we need some people to get some contentment. Pastor, we can't get content. We'll get stagnant. I didn't say stagnant. I said content. You can't have peace and not have contentment. You can't have joy and not have contentment. You know what our problem is? We're too busy seeing where we're at. I'm abased. I'm abound. I'm here. I'm there. We forget to be content where God put us. I don't like this job. I don't like this. I don't like that. Let's be real. In our modern world, we don't like our job, we quit. Decline. I'm going to kill that boy. We don't like our job, we quit. We don't like our spouse, we leave them. We don't like our church, we change churches. We don't like our family, we don't talk to them. I got news for you, church. Paul says, it's what I've learned. And tell you how I learned to be what I am. I learned to be content. If I've got nothing, God put me there with nothing for a reason, and I'm going to be all right with it. If I've got a lot, God gave me a lot for a reason, I'm going to be okay with it. There are seasons in our life. You've never had a season. There are seasons in our life. But we need those seasons to get the knowledge we need for the next step in our life. And when we get content in that season, then we can produce in the right season. When we're content in the winter, we can produce in the spring. When we're content with the fall. See, spring's okay, it brings life. Summer's okay, it brings harvest. We don't like fall and winter. But when we get content in the fall, when things are falling off, all those old things fall away. All those old things that have the seed of life for the future fall away, but they go to have their own life. You ever notice that when a nut falls off a tree, it doesn't make that tree grow bigger. It makes another tree grow. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to do an altar call, and I'm going to do an altar call and close. But why in the world do so many churches chase so many nuts that fall off their church? They were never intended to make your church better. They were intended to make another church grow. Let them go grow, because God's going to send you some more nuts. Come on. You see, we spend so much time trying to get back what was on. But really, when we look at it, our church is one of the greatest pictures of this I have ever seen. We grew up, we had a huge growth spurt a couple of years ago.
And all of a sudden, had a nut on staff that fell off of this tree. But he planted in another tree. Can I tell you the way I see it? Every time I look across town, and you got to know, most of you know, me and Bradley are still very close. We still have lunch together. We still call each other. Every time I go over there, every time I see him, every time I talk to him, I don't see somebody that left my church. I see another part of the orchard. I'm going to be honest, and I don't say this out of pride. This is what God did. I look over there, and I see a plot of land that was about to die. And because we let a seed fall out of this tree, we let a seed fall out of this tree, and not just a pastor, but a group of people call out of this tree. Now there's a harvest coming over there. There's a harvest coming over. You'll remember the day that the night we announced his resignation, I preached a sermon called Stronger Together. Why? Because we're stronger together. Church, don't be afraid of fall. Be content. Okay, it fell away. They're going to bless somebody else. Don't be afraid of winter. Winter's a time of hibernation. It's a time of rest. You know how many times we need to get caught up, get a deep breath? Heard this week at Lee University, they have built new buildings every year for about the last 6 or 7 years. Their campus has exploded. And in a meeting with the president, President Khan, one of the questions was asked, what's the next big project? And he said, listen, right now we're taking a deep breath and we're catching up with ourselves because we've been big project after big project. There'll be another one coming, but we don't know what it is and we don't know when it's going to start. Right now, I love it. He goes, right now we got to fix sidewalks and flower beds before we can go on to big things. We don't get content with sidewalks and flower beds. But when we, like Paul says, I found out whatever state I'm in, be content. Then his next thing is, I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. I know how to be full. And I know how to be hungry. I know how to abound. And I know how to suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because of his contentment. How do we get content? We get content by putting ourselves in his hand. That simply means giving our life to Christ. Giving our life to the Lord. All it takes to give your heart to the Lord is admit that you've messed up, that you've sinned. To believe that he died for your sin, was buried, and rose again, carrying the victory of your sin, over your sin. And then, to commit to live for him every day. That's what it takes. And when we do that, then we can begin to learn to be content in his power, which will allow us to know how to do these things so that we can stand and do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. I don't do this so you can hide. I do this so that people are comfortable. If you're here today, you say, Pastor Tommy, I need to become content in God. I need to give myself to God. I need to give myself to God. I need to know that his hands are wrapped around me so that I can truly walk in contentment. I need to admit, believing, commit today. I want you to lift your hand up all around this building. If that's you here, yes, yes. If you're watching on Facebook and that's you, please use the hand raise emoji or give us a comment so we can pray with you as well. Here's what I want to do. I want everybody in this room to pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I admit that I've sinned. I've messed up. I've made mistakes. But today I believe that you died for my sin. You were buried with my sin. But you rose again, defeating my sin. And I commit to follow you, to obey your word, and to follow your directions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, and you meant it, you can be content. Our desire here is to put God in people, not people in seats. If you let God come into your heart, I want you to make sure you let me know that today. I'll be at the back door. Let me know. I'll let God into my heart today. We want to know that. You can also text the word believe to 660-251-4200. Why would I do that? If you'll text that word believe to 660-251-4200, we will send you some scriptures. We'll send you a couple emails and text messages to encourage you, give you an opportunity. We want to see you do more than just pray a prayer. We want to see you change your life. And we want to be there along the way to help you out. Thank you so much for being here. Be back tonight at 6 o'clock. God is doing some great things. Shake hands, be friendly. Tell somebody you love them. Everybody, God loves them. You're dismissed.